Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM, Richmond's home for the Hoos and the Hokies, and we are live from Charlotte, North Carolina for ACC kickoff. Joining us right now from the ACC Network, Eric McLean. What's going on, Eric?
Man, it is great energy in here. Radio Row, always one of my favorite things to do. You know, I never forget back as a player going through this gauntlet and how fun that was back in Pinehurst. Which was a really cool place, but a lot of energy, man. It's day one, and we're going to have obviously more teams roll through here the next couple days, but this has been a fantastic start to this event.
Yeah, I want to start with Clemson and all eyes on Cade Klubnik. Yeah. What were the little things you thought he needed to improve on last year? Because it feels like he should be a Heisman candidate this year.
No, 100%. I think he's the best quarterback in the country. I think that when you talk about how do you separate yourself a little bit more, you know, how do you become that – you know, number one overall pick. How do you become that first quarterback taken? I think anticipating throws, you know, which takes timing, which takes working with your receivers. Now those guys growing up, that's going to be, you know, fun to anticipate what that will look like. But throwing guys open there, his pocket presence just was magnified times 100 last year. And the guy that we saw as a sophomore versus as a junior, night and day different. And so now, you know, to see that final form and to have more ownership of the offense and the things that you expect from them, but anticipating throws, getting to your check down, and again, just continuing to build ownership in that offense, I think can separate him to be the first guy taken.
Eric, I wonder what you think the NFL star power being added to the ACC will help boost this conference. Yeah. I mean, you had Bill O'Brien, but now you have Frank Reich and, of course, Bill Belichick. Yeah. How's that going to boost the ACC?
Yeah, it's pretty cool, right, when you have three coaches of that magnitude that have all, you know, either played or won Super Bowls, played for or won Super Bowls at some level, OC or DC or head coach there. And it's a big deal, and it's fun, and it brings something else to talk about, a new nuance. And, you know, it's love it or hate it, we're moving towards a baby NFL. And,
yeah.
And so to have guys of that magnitude that have been there, done that, seen it done, and seen it executed at the highest level, that will be beneficial, and that will help for those programs. Now, how much? What does that mean? You know, because ultimately you still need the guys doing it, the players playing at high levels to do so, but it certainly is fun, and I can't wait to see how does that translate to the field.
And I do feel like with the NIL and the transfer portal, college football has never been closer to the NFL.
Right.
And so you can
about
really
a salary cap. I mean,
yeah.
What are we doing?
It's, you can it's a flip lot. A roster in 1 year, yeah. And 12-team college football playoffs. I think the ACC every year has got to get at least two teams in. You did it last year, SMU and Clemson. Can they do that again?
Yeah, you know, you would hope so. You know, when you see know, Clemson, obviously what we predict from them and how good we think they're going to be. And then who's going to be next? Is it Miami? Can they finally get over that hurdle where, you know, I hate to be negative, but it felt like they wasted last year when you had a quarterback go number one overall, yeah, a guy in Cam Ward that was so talented and so good, and then your defense just couldn't reach the level that you needed them to at multi different facets of the season, and ultimately, you know, kept them out of that situation. A team like SMU this year that have your quarterback back, that you have your head coach back and your offensive coordinator, a lot missing from the defense, but they feel good about who they brought in from the transfer portal. That defense is going to be led from the back to the front. I think that secondary is going to be a force to be reckoned with and really fun to watch. So those are kind of the three that you feel confident about. Then can a Louisville, can a Georgia Tech, you know, who's going to be the next up to continue to step forward and push for that second or third, how fun would that be, you know, spot for the college football playoff.
Joined by Eric McLean from the ACC Network, I'm Adam Epstein here with AWOD Radio. AWOD on the Road presented by Cowan Gates. Hokie Steve has stopped by as well.
Yeah, I told him one question, but I'm going to do two.
Come
on. How excited are you for the Garrett Nussmeier versus Kay Cubitt game one battle for Death Valley?
It's huge, man. I mean, you're talking about whoever you ask, probably a little bit more consensus with Cade Klubnik, but number one quarterback in the country.
Right.
Either one of those guys. Right. It feels like it. You could point to them and be really, you know, solid with your choice. The air raid attack from LSU is going to be fun to watch. And how does Clemson combat that? Now, LSU has five new offensive linemen. Clemson has the best D-line in college football. That should matter. There should be a matchup problem for LSU, but the does it live up to the hype?
Yeah.
You know, is it all kind of star? I mean, I hope not. I hope they just bury him.
Right.
You know, but it could be a star-studded affair. And how fun would that be to kind of see that up close in person?
DV versus DV, right?
It's a big deal.
It is, and a big deal.
Listen, we claimed it about a decade first.
Right.
They actually started as Deaf Hearing, Deaf Valley. But, you know, Cajuns have trouble with letters and words, so it turned into Death Valley. So I understand.
You look like you guys have – that's a great question. That's a great answer. You look like you, Eddie Royal, yeah, our guy, Eddie Royal,
that's right,
and E.J. Manuel, yeah, and Coach Rick, you look like you guys have so much fun.
We do.
On
we,
the huddle.
We
talk,
really
talk,
do.
Talk about it.
Yeah, it's a I've got to reminisce a little bit here because it's changing. And
yeah,
maybe this is a little bit of breaking news, you know, here. But it has been such an honor to every Saturday for the last, you know, four football seasons,
yeah,
to work with, you know, those men and how we've became closer as, you know, brothers and friends and, you know, texting all the time, even out of the season and calling each other. And it's something that I think is pretty rare in this business, but in life, you know, to find, you know, three other people that are as like-minded as you that do something similar. And it was a true honor. And as I mentioned, it's a little bit of an end of an era. E.J. Manuel is moving up. He will be on the ESPN kind of rap show with Matt Barry. Coach Rick will be moving to the studio because we have separated the teams now. But I'll still be with your guy, Hokie legend, Eddie
awesome.
Royal there. But it's something that, man, the memories, the journeys, the fun times that we had, it's things that last a lifetime. And it was a pleasure to work with them.
And speaking of the broadcast aspect of the ACC, what do you think of the move to really dominate Friday nights?
Yeah, it's cool, right? And it's, you know, with this new unequal revenue model, it's very beneficial to those teams that have the privilege to play on that Friday night because it's a standalone game. You know, on a typical weekend, if you're playing a subpar opponent or an average opponent on a Saturday, you get buried and maybe, you know, a couple hundred thousand people watch. It doesn't matter who you're playing on Friday night. It's a million plus. That's a big deal now, and that really matters. And to be able to own that and, you know, hopefully it becomes a bigger deal and there's more branding and awareness and fun things around it. But I like the opportunity. Now, not everybody can necessarily host. There's different unique problems that some schools face with weekday games. But it is going to be fascinating. How does that grow in popularity, especially because at the end of the year when you're getting that extra check, how much did that individual day, awkward day, you know, really kind of help you?
Eric McLean with us here in the Hadid Mercer Rug Cleaning Hotline. Hot seat, I'll let you ask about the Hokies. I want to focus in on the Hoos for a second here. Tony Elliott has dealt with a tremendous amount of adversity at UVA. It was unbelievable the way he handled the tragedy a few years ago. But now they need to win on the field, right? And that absolutely needs to happen this year. It's a make-or-break season. I think the question is, can they win in the trenches?
Right. And we'll see. You know, time will tell. But I'm with you in the fact of it is time to win. And that's hard to say, right, because of all those things. But you have a new facility. You've had it for a year now, and hopefully that has attracted enough talent to where you can put a team out there that feels really confident in the things that they're going to do. I love Chandler Morris. I think that he's a great addition to this team. I think he's going to be able to rip it. I hope they lean into that, and he throws, you know, 4,000-plus yards, right? He's that caliber of a cornerback. But that's a one-year thing. You know, who is going to come in and sustain and do things of that nature, and the unique and different challenges that are presented being at the University of Virginia there. But no question, it's time to, you know, get that to the field, and hopefully that translates, and, you know, we'll see what they're able to do. I think a lot of people like the schedule. I think it's a little favorable. And, you know, I was just over here talking with a group that's here in North Carolina radio show, and, you know, they said a lot of people have brought them up as a dark horse. Now, what kind of dark? What does that mean? Are you thinking ACC champion? Are you thinking throw a wrench in some people's schedules?
Right.
It is a fascinating thing, but I love Coach Elliott to death. I believe in everything that he does. And, you know, it in a world, in a society right now where everybody wants everything now, to preach patience and to preach building sustainability, cohesion, it's important, especially now when there's so much potential for the players to change. You got to keep your core, and if they can do that, you know, time will tell.
Yeah, I think in terms of Chandler Morris, I hope he can have success, but I do think if it works for him, it can be maybe plug and play, because right, the ACC has done so well with the transfer portal acquisitions. Correct. At the quarterback position.
All right, let's back it down to 81 a little bit, where Blacksburg is. This is a big year for Coach Pry. There's no doubt about that. This is a big year for Kyron Drones. They've got to close these games in the fourth quarter where they've had the lead.
Correct.
And they can't close the deal. That, to me, is where Virginia Tech gets over the hump. Your thoughts?
Right, and that's where running the football
yep.
and great defense comes into play, which if you think about that, that's who Virginia Tech is supposed to be. That's who they are. And, you know, I think it is – you know, a bit unfortunate, some injuries, and things just didn't work last year for whatever reason. You know, there was a lot of excitement, myself included, maybe being the you know, guy leading that train of this team's going to be good. This team's going to do some fun things, and, you know, the production and the quarterback, and then it just didn't, you know. And so how do you overcome that? But I agree with you. Both these coaches, man, you know, it's time to win. And, you know, that's hard to do clearly, you know, because this is a good, you know, league, and there's been some new players added, some teams that have really stepped up. But Blacksburg deserves winning football. I mean, it's a place that, you know, I had not been outside of working here. And the first time I ever went, I was just blown away
right.
with the support, the environment. And I can't imagine what that place would be like with a top 15 team, with a top 10 team. I mean,
it was fun back in the day.
Right, it's
me.
Electric. Yeah. And those people deserve it because they always show up. I mean, I've been there for subpar opponents, and there's not a seat in the house. And so, you know, Blacksburg needs that. They need that to be a thing.
The ACC
and to get
needs Blacksburg.
The ACC needs it, 100%, yeah. No question.
Eric, thanks so much for the time, man. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you guys, man. It's fun talking with you, and excited for the year.
You're listening to AWOD Radio on The Fan. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back. Welcome back to AWOD Radio here on the New Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM, Richmond's home for UVA Athletics. You can hear who's talking, all things UVA, Mondays on 910 The Fan. And joining us right now, as we are live from ACC kickoff in Charlotte, North Carolina, is quarterback Chandler Morris for the Hoos. What's going on?
What's up? Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So I feel like I've seen your picture. I've seen your face all over social media from some of the comments you made earlier today. You're loving this media day.
Yeah, no, it's been good. Just kind of honored to be here representing UVA, and it's a cool experience.
Absolutely. I want to go back to when you play high school football and you get recruited to college. Did you feel like there's any chance you'd play for this many schools?
No, not at all. This is not the plan. God works in mysterious ways, and I mean, yeah, it's been a roller coaster of a career, and it's been a journey for sure.
How do you describe this journey that you've been on? Are you enjoying the stops that you've made?
Yeah, no, I have. I mean, there's you're not enjoying every single day of the career, but it's been awesome. I mean, I wouldn't change a thing. I think I've learned so many valuable lessons throughout my career that have helped me become a better football player and also to become a better man.
I think the ACC has done a tremendous job, but recruiting transfer portal quarterbacks. You had the number one overall pick last year. Cam Ward was a transfer portal quarterback. So why UVA?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's it goes back to my relationship with Coach Elliott. I've known him since I was 11 years old. Known him for a long time. My family's got a lot of respect for him, as I do too. And just understanding that it's my last season and I want to go play for good people, and I know he is. And also too, just the hunger out of this fan base. I know they're hungry. They're ready for to start winning games. And so I think I can come in and I can help take us to that next step.
So your relationship with Coach Elliott when he was at Clemson, and your dad came in with Dabo. So what was that relationship like, and what was that like for you being a kid and kind of watching your dad get a big job in the ACC?
Yeah, I know. It was awesome. I mean, I really enjoyed it. I didn't really understand it, what was truly going on, just because I was so young. But just getting to kind of run around the facility, be around great players that they had. I mean, the Sammy Watkins, the DeAndre Hopkins, Taj Boyd, just to name a few. And so, I mean, it was an awesome experience. Actually, I'm sure I picked up many things that I don't realize that I picked up during those times. And just really enjoyed that experience.
College football has almost become semi-pro with the number of years you could play. You're 24 years old.
24, yeah.
I mean, it's kind of crazy. Like, I grew up watching college football. You don't usually see a 24-year-old. How will your experience help you this season?
Yeah, I think just my maturity and experience. I mean, just I've played a lot of snaps, probably 2,000 snaps or so, and started a lot of ball games. It's going to help me. Just it really slows down the game, and understand how to prepare for games each week, and then also too, just winning over locker rooms and getting guys to fight for me, and just going out there and having fun with my guys, and just plan on going out there and putting on a exciting brand of football.
Joined by grad transfer quarterback for UVA, Chandler Morris. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio. Quarterback, everybody knows, is the most important position on the field. The spotlight's on you, whether it's success or failure. How would you describe your leadership style at that position?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of both. I think vocally, I'll step up when needed. I think that's a big part of who I am. And not all the time that when it's negative, but also too whenever it's positive. I mean, just telling guys good job. They don't want to hear all this negative stuff every single time. And really just and praising them and giving them all the credit. And then also too, I think leading by example. I think whenever we go out there at workouts, I mean, those guys, they seem to dominate the conditioning drills a little more than I can, a little better than I can as I get older. But I'm going out there and I'm doing everything they're doing, and going out there and battling with them, and they can see me out there hurting a little bit. So it's good. I think they've really appreciated seeing that part of me.
Chandler, how badly do you want to be a gunslinger at UVA this season?
Yeah, no, I mean that was exactly what I came here to do, and what I want to do. I had a really successful season last year, and really enjoyed my time in Denton at North Texas, and just plan on keeping it rolling and building off of that success that I'd had over the past couple of years, and bringing it here and showing the fans what I'm about.
Joined by transfer quarterback Chandler Morris, I'm Adam Epstein. This is AWOD Radio. So we cover UVA, and I'll be honest with you, this is the most excited I've been for a season. Tony Elliott's been building. They needed a quarterback. You come in here, and so there's a lot of excitement in the fan base, in the region for this upcoming season. What would a successful season at UVA look like for you?
Yeah, I think just going out there and everyone meshing, I think we did a great job of that, getting everyone on the same page this summer. And really getting on building and learning the offense and coming together as a team and playing fast and physical. And then, I mean, it's no secret in our locker room we want to go win championships. And that's our goal. We understand that, a lot of people might get wide-eyed whenever we say we won championships, but we do have the pieces in our locker room. And it comes down to us. It comes down to us as players to just go out there and execute.
How much of this is an opportunity for you to prove you belong at the P4 level?
Yeah, I mean, that was a difficult conversation with my last head coach at Eric Morris at North Texas. I mean, I was sitting in his office in tears. I love that guy to death, and he was he was, I just told him, like, hey, the main thing, I want to go back to the Power 4 level and not for others. I said, I want to do it for me. I want to go back and prove to myself I can get back in it. And I had some unfortunate injuries at TCU that kept me off and took me off the field, and just had to kind of go get a fresh start. And I was actually playing really good football while I was still when I was playing at TCU and everything like that. So just getting back to it and really proving to myself.
Yeah, I mean, how do you stay mentally strong when it feels like the only thing holding you back is injuries?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's not easy, and I'm far from perfect, and I had many tough times with it, but I mean, I just leaning on my faith, leaning on my family, was extremely important for me, and it helped me out a ton. And doing the things that I enjoy was important during those times. But it wasn't easy. But I mean, I wouldn't change anything about my career. I'm grateful for all my experiences and all the experiences I've learned through the storms.
Well, hopefully you can close out your college career with some success here at UVA and working with head coach Tony Elliott. I want to get your thoughts on this conference as a whole. It's called itself the Conference of Quarterbacks, and you look at Cade Klubnik, you look at Cam Ward, you look at some of the big names in this conference. How big of a deal is that to you to play in the ACC?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's huge. You got some big names in this conference, and then we had the conference had the first round or first overall pick last year with Cam Ward, who actually, I mean, my head coach last year was his head coach at UIW, and also too at his OC at Washington State. So I mean, we came from the same tree, Cam and I did, and seeing his success in the ACC really fired me up and it excites me. So I'm just excited to get out there and go compete.
So you came to UVA to win, and there's nothing that's going to get in your way. Your team's going to put in the effort, going to put in the work, and you have a favorable schedule that, you know, the fans are all talking about how this schedule is set up for UVA to have success this season. Can you give me your thoughts on the wide receiver room that you guys have put together?
Yeah, I think we've got a lot of dudes over there, and I think at the outside position, we got Trell Harris, extremely talented. One of the better ones I've played with, and we just got to keep him healthy and keep him on the field, and he's going to be electric for us. And then you got a guy like Jamal Edgerin. He's hungry. He's coming from Purdue. He's kind of had a roller coaster of a career as well. So he's came in here. He's extremely mature. It's a sixth year, and he knows what he wants, and he's going to go out there and perform at a high level. And then you go to the kind of the inside position. You go to the Sudarian and Cam Ross and Cam Courtney's, and just to name a few. And I mean, those guys are it's going to be fun to watch them kind of compete it and battle it out during this camp, and see who's the most consistent guy. And I know those guys, each one of them, are going to help us on Saturdays, and it's going to be a lot of fun.
That's Chandler Morris, quarterback for UVA. Let it rip, man. Good luck this season.
That's right. Yes, sir. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
You're listening to AWOD Radio on The Fan. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is. With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to A-Wide Radio here on the new sports radio 910 The Fan. Now at 105.1 FM, it's A-Wad on the Road, presented by Cowan Gates. We've got Hokie Steve with us here, and we're sitting down with Wes Durham right now from the ACC Network. What's going on, Wes?
I'm great, Adam. How are you, man?
I'm awesome. You know I love this event. I get to sit down with you and chop it up about all things ACC. I want to start with, who do you think is the best quarterback in the conference right now?
Oh, I'll give Klubnik his flowers.
Okay.
I think he's won the championship a couple times. He's been effective more often than not. Haynes King of Georgia Tech is close second to me. I think then we've got to get into the transfer list a little bit. I'm probably as excited about Miller Moss at Louisville. That's a name I don't think you're hearing very much. Mm-hmm. I want to see Carson Beck in a game.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, it's Notre Dame on opening night. I'd really like to know how somebody's come back from a UCL tear in early December and the rehab. Usually in baseball, we know that takes a little longer. But if he makes it back, and you know, all indications yesterday were he's going to be back and ready to go. So that would be really exciting for me. But I wouldn't go Klubnik right now, just based on wins and who he is. And I'm kind of optimistic on Clemson. I think Clemson has a chance to start in the top five and stay there a long time this fall.
I'm hoping so as well, and I do feel like last year, you know, there was a little bit of shade thrown at Dabo Swinney.
Yeah. Oh,
you're not in on the transfer portal. And he's, well, I'm going to develop my own guys, and they had the success last season and make it into the college football playoffs, and two teams got in. And my take is the ACC needs two teams every single year in the college football playoffs.
Yeah, if we stay at 12, they definitely need two. And if you go to 16, maybe we can, you know, offer an opportunity for one more, maybe every year. I was glad to see SMU get in. I think it was a statement by the committee to say, hey, look, these guys were undefeated in their conference, and the two teams they lost to were really good teams. They lost to BYU and they lost to Clemson. So, yeah, I'm optimistic about where the ACC is right now. I think this is as calm the waters have been in a long time, and I think that's good for the league. I think the league has done a nice job building continuity, accessing good players out of the portal, and actually I feel a little bit about the same way in basketball, that you know, you take bumps for a couple of years and now maybe everybody's found their way, but we'll decide that in October. But I feel really good about where football is going, and I love the first 3 weeks in terms of who they're playing.
Joined by Wes Durham, I'm Adam Epstein, here with Hokie Steve, live from Radio Row, Charlotte, North Carolina, for the 2025 ACC kickoff. You know, I want to start with UVA. This is the most excited I've been covering UVA.
I forgot to mention Chandler Morris, by the way.
Yeah. I mean, I think he's going to be a stud. We had him yesterday on the show. I love the confidence. I love the fact that you know, his father's in coaching.
Sure.
So he's had that experience. And I thought it was cool that he talked about he wanted to end his career at a good university and back with Tony Elliott, who mm-hmm. he knew from when he was 10 years old.
Yeah, and I think there's a lot to this, right? I think there's plenty to go around about Chandler Morris and the timing for Virginia. I think the university deserves a lot of credit. They went out and found resources financially to get in the portal. The way they lost all these players the last 3 years, now they're trying to bring those type players to Charlottesville. I'm excited. We're going to get to see them against Coastal in week one as part of our coverage, so
yeah.
That'll be fun. I told Tony yesterday, I feel like, you know, of all the cards he's been thrown, all the bad cards and the bad breaks and the tragedies and things like that, it finally feels like now they've got some resolve and some continuity and some structure built about their program where they can be successful. You know, Adam and Steve, each of the last 4 years, the ACC's had a team picked below kind of the midline in the preseason fly into the top five or six. Syracuse was that team last year at 10-2. Virginia, to me, has the kind of schedule where they can fly into the top five or six if they get off to the good start. And I certainly think opening night against Coastal is a big part of that.
Yeah, back to you. We were talking about the vibe of today. Really, the vibe of what goes back to Amelia Island. You know, last year at this time, we had the lawsuit going on between with Clemson, FSU,
sure, right.
And the ACC. it kind of, you know, up at Amelia Island, it kind of started to change a little bit, and I think, obviously, it's completely different here this week.
Yeah, the landscape of this business is volatile at best, right?
No doubt.
I mean, it's on fire sometimes.
No doubt.
We're seeing a little bit of that, I think, this week now with all the conjecture about the college football playoff. But for me, I think the Atlantic Coast Conference, because of the type of institutions they have to be a little bit more prudent. They can't quite shoot from the hip like some of these others can. The Big 12 is almost all state-born universities,
right?
And they can do some things that are a little less, you know, planned out, if you will. Brett Yormark can give away all the media seats at the basketball tournament to people to sit on the floor, and there's not an uproar about it, right? I mean, all those things kind of keep building. Here, it's taken a little more time. The ACC's never been a league historically that has moved without a plan. And I think we've seen that. The legal side had to take care of itself one way or the other. Everybody kind of got a little bit of what they wanted. The league did. The schools did. Things like that. The waters have calmed there. I think that's all a big part of this. And the things that are going on the individual campuses, you know, I came into this league professionally in 1995 when there were 9 schools.
Right.
Now we've damn near doubled that. It's harder to build consensus with 17 than it is 9. That was a tricky part for Jim Phillips, and you know that part for him has finally calmed down too since he began his commissionership here.
You know, there's a great opportunity. I'm looking at the schedule. Really, you talk about the first 3 weeks. Week one, Labor Day weekend. You've got, you know, obviously
for the league.
Yeah,
oh, it's unbelievable.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Obviously, we talked yesterday with Eric McLean about LSU Clemson. Obviously, a huge, huge game. But
yep,
the Hokies are down at Mercedes-Benz taking on Shane Beamer and the South Carolina Gamecocks. Oh yeah, and FSU Alabama. How about opening up the new Doak Stadium over there in Tallahassee?
Yeah, nobody will shy away from Florida State Alabama.
Exactly.
Right? I mean, yeah, the league has done consistently a really good job the last few years with these type games. So I think that's something that they have to keep investing in. Mm-hmm. If you go and look ahead into the regular season, the Friday night schedule in this league is really good for ESPN,
Georgia
too.
Georgia Tech, Colorado first week.
Well, that, and you get Carolina at Cal later in the year, things of that nature. So, yeah, I'm optimistic about the way the league has to start. And, look, I don't expect them to go undefeated. But I think they need to come out of there feeling pretty good after the first week. And then you get Miami, Florida, you know, a couple weeks down the road. You get some week time. We're going to Blacksburg for Vanderbilt, Virginia Tech.
That's a big game. Huge game for the Hokies.
Depending on what happens at Mercedes-Benz, it could be very big either way, right?
Yep.
So all those things fall in line. And I think those are the type games that ultimately build the rhetoric for the ACC.
Yeah, and the tough thing after that is you can get the wins there in the non-conference, and then you got to keep it going throughout the rest of the season. I mean, we saw Miami have the success, and then it folds at the end of the season. It's so tough to keep it together throughout
Take
the entire
Pitt.
Ride.
Pitt starts 7-0, goes to Dallas, gets it handed to them, and now they can't rebound, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's a challenge too, and that's another school, like Virginia, who I think if they get off to a really good start, they build some momentum early. Can they cash it through? And that's one of the things about this league, that it's delivered. But the problem is, if you don't get the league off to a really good start to begin with,
right,
it's trickier to navigate.
Joined by Wes Durham, I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio. Wes, you know I love having you on the show. I'm such a big fan. And ACC fans, they know your name. They recognize your voice.
Right.
I'm interested. Can you walk me through some of the jobs that you've taken here to work your way up? And now you're the voice of the Falcons. They see you on ACC Network. What are some of the jobs that
getting old, Adam? Got to be careful here. Let's see. I've been doing. I was late to television.
Okay.
I did not go to TV till 2013. So I was 47 when I went to TV. I did Georgia Tech for 18 years. You know, my dad's lineage in this league was just bananas. I mean, he started doing North Carolina in 19. He actually left television to go to radio at Carolina. He was working ACC basketball for C.D. Chesley, long before Raycom and JP and all that. He was doing Chesley games for the ACC in 1971. He started doing the games in college at Carolina. And so when he started doing Carolina in 71, I basically grew up following the league. So, you know, I worked at Vanderbilt prior to going to Georgia Tech in 1995. In fact, I'll share this with you guys. I put it on my Twitter feed yesterday. Noah Josie's dad, Brian, was an offensive guard on the Vanderbilt teams that I did the games for 31 years ago.
Yep.
And
yeah.
So I had a picture made with Noah yesterday, and I thank the world of his dad and those teams that I was fortunate to be on as a young announcer. But I've had a blast. It's been a professional blessing to be part of this. The Falcons situation came out of thin air 22 years ago. It'll be 22 years Dave and I've done the game starting this fall. And that just came about when their radio guy left town in July of 2004, and they needed somebody to do a preseason game in 3 weeks. And I'd done some preseason games a few years before that on radio, and they called and said, would you do it? And Dave Brain was the athletic director at Georgia Tech.
Yep.
Chan Gailey, the football coach, Paul Hewitt, the basketball coach, and I was working for the athletic department at Tech, and they gave me their blessing in Atlanta. And I never would have imagined I'd be doing the NFL. This will be 22.
Can you tell me a little bit about the experience you had with Dan Quinn when he was coaching the Atlanta
Falcons? I'm a huge fan of DQ. I still get texts from DQ during basketball season. He watches a ton of basketball. I see a lot of games he's doing.
His quarterback comes out with a basketball.
Yeah,
Jay Daniels.
Yeah, his quarterback is trouble. And we're going to get to see him early in the year, too. And they'll come into Atlanta, I think, in week four or week three.
Yeah.
He is terrific. I love he and Stacey as people. You know, and he gave me, you know, his team was successful with Matt and Julio and those guys defensively. You know, I got to do the biggest game in the Western Hemisphere. Didn't go our way, but I got to do it.
Yeah.
And always grateful for that. And he's just a really good friend.
Steve, you want to tackle
the
Hokies?
Yeah, I was going to say, since we're Virginia-based, he left out the voice of the Radford Highlanders back
in
the day.
That's where I started. God bless them. They gave me a job out of college. I finished at Elon. I didn't have a job. And tell you, Jeff Charles, the late voice of the East Carolina Pirates, had worked at Virginia Tech. And Jeff had some friends that worked at Radford in athletics. And Jeff and I had exchanged tapes. He had been very kind to give me a lot of feedback. I still think, you know, he's as responsible for my career beginning. And I had a wonderful experience at Elon. I love my school. And Jeff said, hey, by the way, Radford's hiring a basketball announcer. I think you can get this job. And I sent a tape in. And went up there and interviewed with Rick Rogers, who was the SID. Chuck Taylor was the AD. Oliver Purnell was the basketball coach. Marty Smith, much younger than me, came to school after I'd already left. But I'm grateful for those 3 years and what it meant in my career. It's always fun to go to Blacksburg because I used to eat at McAdoo's when I was at Radford. I used to go to Beers of the World downtown on Main Street.
Yep.
I used to go there when I was at Radford. It's been a blast.
McAdoo's is still popular
joint. Oh, I've been
in
to McAdoo's. We stay out on Price's Fork, and I'll go get a sandwich at McAdoo's. And people are like, what are you doing? Nobody goes there. I'm like, no. I went there 30-some years ago. I'm going again.
Wes, massive season for the Virginia Tech Hokies. For me, I'm such a big fan of Coach Pry.
Sure.
I hate to see the mistakes in terms of the penalties, the 12-man on the field, the time management issues.
Sure.
How can he improve in that category?
They have to execute. It's pretty simple at Virginia Tech. He made the tough decisions in the offseason that had to be made. But that's the bottom line. You know, look, I know 60 minutes of referendum is played in Atlanta. I understand that game, okay? But I don't know that they can beat South Carolina. I hope they can for the sake of the ACC and for Virginia Tech. But what you can't do is lose South Carolina and come back home, play Vanderbilt, and lose that game.
Yeah.
That's when things get hot quick, and that's not good for anybody.
Why
that's,
do you think they've struggled in the first four games? You know, the last
I don't
like five,
know.
Six years.
I mean, we had them 2 years ago when they played Old Dominion. They were lights out that opening night. I really like Kyron Jones. The health thing for me is always a bit of a question there, right? Defensively, I think they've had really good talent. APR was phenomenal.
Yeah.
Man, what a great player he was. So, you know, we'll see how this goes. I think it's probably best that they forget what's happened here in the last 3 or 4 years and play this thing as free as they possibly can this fall.
Yeah, you nailed it. If they go down to Mercedes-Benz, even if they play a great game and don't come out of there with a win, they have got to beat Vanderbilt in Blacksburg that next Saturday night, because you cannot start 0-2 with that heat coming down.
No question. And I think that's the one thing we're excited to be there for, the Commodores and the Hokies.
Yeah. Wes, really appreciate
the
time.
All right, guys. Pleasure. Thanks.
Yep, that's Wes Durham. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD on the Fan. Welcome back to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM, Richmond's home for the most college football talk in town, and we are here in Charlotte, North Carolina. We've taken the radio show with us, AWOD on the Road, presented by Cowan Gates, live from 2025 ACC kickoff, and joining us right now for UVA, Mitchell Melton. What's going on, Mitchell?
Doing good. Blessed to be here. Honored to represent this great university, and thank you for having me on, man.
Well, I appreciate you saying that, and so you kind of answered my first question. Why UVA when you transferred?
I had a unique process getting recruited, especially trying to combat playing college football in the playoffs and also getting recruited by other college institutions. But with that, I decided to be transparent and communicated with my process and where I wanted to be at, and I think Virginia really responded to that the way I wanted to, in an honest, you know, communicative manner. And I think it made it really easy for them to jump out in my recruitment, and the rest is history.
Can you give us a little bit more details? Because we hear about the wild, wild west of the transfer portal, but that's such a great point there. Like, you were playing playoff games while other players were deciding where they were going to go.
Yeah, it was a second to none experience, but I'm grateful for it, I think, for sure. It was a lot of Zoom meetings because, you know, I couldn't really travel to visit these colleges. But like I said, Virginia really was second to none in the way in which they handled that and the way in which they made it personable, even still with the challenges I had, and it made it really easy.
What are your thoughts on the ACC?
It's a prestigious institution, and I'm so excited to play for it this upcoming season.
Why?
Why not?
Yeah.
It's a great universities play at the highest level like this, and they go to the playoffs where they can compete for a national championship just like anywhere else in the country, and I think I'm blessed to be here.
I mean, I agree with you. Look, I grew up rooting for a lot of teams in the ACC, of course, in Virginia, UVA, Virginia Tech. I mean, I feel like the ACC sometimes gets a bad rap, and of course, all eyes were on SMU and Clemson getting to the college football playoffs last year. What did your experience in the playoffs help you now coming to UVA?
It really helped understand that the only voice that matters is the one inside the locker room, and I think regardless of what everyone else says about the ACC, if Virginia itself worries about Virginia and produces at the level I know we can, then it's going to be a lot of people talking, and we're not going to worry about it because it's not going to matter, because at the end of the day, it's about us. So I think for me, especially during the playoffs, what was the question again? I'm sorry.
Just your experience playing in the playoffs.
Exactly.
How's that
going to
help you at UVA?
Yeah, I mean, I've learned a lot, and I learned a lot about myself and the things I've been through. But at the same time, I think my experience is continually humbled by the experience of being here at Virginia and all the new people and the new experiences they have. So I think we're understanding that, like, even regardless of where I came from, a lot of people came from different places and they can still benefit in the same ways.
Can you explain the little details, all right, for football fans that don't know because they haven't played at a high level?
Yeah.
What goes into being a good, strong pass rusher?
I like to coin a term called competitive excellence. It's making a play when your number's called. And I think the little detail is fine-tuning every little thing that's going to give you an advantage so when the time comes, you're going to be ready and able to make that play and dominate the highest level.
I'm sure you've heard how much UVA is desperate for a guy to get after the quarterback. What do you think about the Tony Elliott squad that he's got on the defensive side of the ball this year?
I'm really excited. These past 7 months, I've been pleasantly surprised by how great these guys are and how well they've been ready to work and put their head down and just block out any distractions and let greatness be on the forefront of their mind. And it's made my job kind of easy. I don't think I really had a job in that sense, but I guess, like you said, with the experience I have, I understand what it takes. And even when I don't mess up, these guys still pick me up, and it's what you need as a team, and it's made me very excited for the fall.
For you individually, what's it going to take to play on Sundays?
Stay healthy.
Yeah.
I think understanding what my body needs day in and day out. Not only that, but what is needed for me for the team. It's probably the biggest thing going forward, but yeah, just maintaining my body at the highest level.
I want to go back to your answer a second ago about the little details.
Yeah.
And you said, like, making a play when your name is called.
Yeah.
Give me a little more thoughts about what you mean by that, because it's 11 guys on the field every play, and you're watching all of them, and I think I know what you mean, but give me a little more detail about it.
I think so a lot of times games come down to moments, and a lot of people can say that a game was won and lost in this moment or that moment. So I think understanding that moment's always coming, and you don't know when it's going to be, but the fact that you stay ready for each moment, that means you'll be successful no matter what. So that's pretty much what I mean by that.
I love the answer, man. I know you got to go, but I've enjoyed this conversation a ton. Good luck this season.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Yep, you're listening to AWOD Radio here on Richmond's home for the Hoos. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Welcome back to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan. Now at 105.1 FM, taking the show with us on the road as you can with the free Odyssey app, live from Charlotte, North Carolina for the 2025 ACC kickoff. And I just thought we had a terrific conversation with quarterback Chandler Morris. And now joining us is the head coach, Tony Elliott, on the Hadid Mercer Rug Cleaning Hot Seat. What's going on, Coach?
I'm good. How you doing?
I'm doing great. I always love sitting down with you here at ACC Kickoff. And once again, a very sharp suit, man.
Oh, I appreciate it. The wife picked it out, so I'm not going to take credit for it.
All right, so why don't you explain a little bit about the guys that you brought with you here today?
So you just had a chance to hear from Chandler Morris, and I think you kind of see why we brought him. He's a veteran guy with a ton of experience. Looking for an opportunity to kind of get back to the Power Four and lead a program to some victories. So obviously, you know, he's an easy choice for us. And you got Noah Josie, a young man that's played some really good football for us on the offensive line, played multiple positions. He's been with us the entire time. His staff has been in Charlottesville and really been instrumental in the transition from a culture standpoint in the locker room. Same thing with Jock Carter, another young man that's played a lot of football for us, made a lot of plays. So excited to have both of those guys. And then Mitchell Melton is a transfer that came in from Ohio State, and he's a guy that instantly walked in the door with credibility, but he's been, you know, day in and day out kind of proving, you know, that he's worthy of that recognition, that credibility that he brings in the door.
Joined by head coach of UVA football, Tony Elliott. So I started in Richmond June 2022.
There you go.
And you were starting there at UVA.
Yep.
During your time, what have you felt like you've built in this program?
Yeah, so I think just you look at the program and the support areas that you need to invest in and develop. I feel like we've built that. We've got a new facility, right? We've completely revamped the nutrition. I think we've elevated the standard of performance in the classroom. You know, with our guys, with the way that they're performing in the classroom, I think the strength and conditioning aspect of our program has gone to a whole different level. And so my hope is that now that we got those support areas the way that we need them, it's going to manifest into success on the field.
And you bring in a quarterback with a lot of experience. Yep. And, I mean, just from talking with him, I know he's fired up to be back in a big-time conference.
Oh, yeah.
What have you seen from his experience and all these different stops that make you think he is going to have success in the ACC?
Well, I think our league, I believe it's the best league in the country. I mean, it's competitive week to week. I mean, from top to bottom, and there's a lot of balance. So you're going to have to be able to go with the flow, the ups and downs. You're going to have to overcome adversity. You're going to have to learn how to handle success. And he's done that throughout his career at all of his stops, going from a younger guy beating out an older guy to sustaining injury, right, to having to kind of transition to another school, to resurrecting his career at North Texas to now moving back up. So just the intangibles that you can't measure, you know that he has those.
I wonder, do you have any idea of what position group you think would be the strongest for UVA this year?
There's the position group that I think could be the strongest. Man, I'm hoping it's the defensive line, right, okay, followed by the offensive line. If we can get those two position groups to lead the way, then I think we have a chance to ultimately have the type of season that we're capable of.
Yeah, I mean, you need some guys to get some sacks and bring in Mitchell Melton.
Sacks and stop the run, and then I need guys on the back end to intercept the ball. I need some linebackers to strip the ball and create some turnovers, create some short fields for the offense. So I think it, but also too, I need the leadership of the guys in the trenches. The best teams that I've been a part of, you know, in my career, the championship teams, they were led from the what we call the inside out, from the D line and the O line.
Can you talk about meeting Chandler Morris when he was a kid? Because he told us about how his relationship started with you when he was like 11 years old.
Yeah, so first day on the job, my job assignment is to go pick his dad up from the airport and make sure that I get him to Clemson safely in the middle of an ice storm. So that was my first day on the job, and then having a chance to meet Paula and his sister McKenzie and him. And, you know, he was a young guy then, and then to watch him run around out at our practices and just to see that competitive fire that he has in him, and then we'd watch him in our summer camps go out there and just command the field in the air ball games with high school kids, and he's just a elementary kid. So you knew that he was made of the right stuff. And then he went, Chad left, and they moved away to Texas, and then he went to Texas, and he built himself up as an athlete. So it's just been fun to watch it all come full circle.
Yeah, it would certainly be awesome for him to close out his college career with a lot of success at UVA. What is the message in the locker room for the group this season?
We got to become a team. We got to become a team. We got to have great leadership, and then we got to be committed. So, you know, those are kind of the three focal points for us. We call it TLC, team leadership commitment. So this team needs a little bit of TLC, and, you know, I know some people might think that's tender, love, and care, but we need that too. But really, it's team leadership and commitment.
Can you talk a little bit about how the facilities have helped?
Yeah, the facilities are awesome. I think you just, when you walk into a new facility and it smells nice. So imagine like coming in here to set up for your day at work, and the lighting is nice. It smells good. The floors are clean. Like, that kind of sets the tempo for the day, right? Flip side, if you don't walk into an environment like that, then they could set the tempo in a bad way. So having a nice brand new facility, it just kind of puts a little more pep in your step. And then it also signifies to recruits and transfer guys that when they show up, they're like, oh wow, there's an investment here at the University of Virginia. They're serious about making sure that we have the best resources for our football players.
Yeah, it's just another thing, another notch in the belt to help you want to work out, want to, you know, grind every single day. We'll close out with this. I mean, the ACC, the Conference of Quarterbacks, and you can stamp that when you have the number one overall pick.
That's right.
At the end of the season, what do you think they will be talking about Chandler Morris in terms of one of the top quarterbacks in the ACC? Can he get up there to 1, 2, or 3?
I think it's possible, right? He's proven that. You know, he beat out a veteran that later leads a team to a national championship game. So I think he's got he's made of the right stuff. He's got the ability. He's got the experience. Now he just needs to get the supporting cast, which he will, to support him. And then we got to do our part to help him, because even though you're talking about the quarterback doesn't become the number one overall pick without the other guys around him. So he has a big job. But he also needs a supporting cast. So I'm excited to see how these guys are going to support him as he leads our team.
We're live and local in Richmond, Virginia. Huge fan base for UVA there. What would be your message to the fan base for this upcoming season?
We need you. You know, we need you. There's been a lot of people that have stepped up to really support and provide the resources. Now what we need is, man, we need a packed house. Man, Scott Stadium has the ability to have one of the most electric environments in the country, and we need to prove that week in and week out. We need to win our state, right? And we start that by making sure that when guys from our state come to a game in Charlottesville, man, it's a packed house.
Yeah.
These guys are working hard to make sure that when you do that and you show up, you'll be entertained.
What can you do to help make sure it is a packed house? Because it's been a conversation for sure.
Yeah, I mean, one, we got to put a great product on the field, right? And the biggest thing is understanding that everybody's role is important. Right? And we got to do our role, which, man, we've been hard at work. The administration has done its role in providing the resources and the support to be able to build a facility, upgrade the stadium, right, create a great fan experience. And so now the next piece is just got to be committed to showing up the same way that I'm asking these players to be committed day in and day out to their best, to sacrifice, to block out the noises. Then we can't make excuses, and there's no reason. Man, think about it. Man, think about some of your best memories. It's a packed house at Scott Stadium. That just needs to be who we are.
Well said, Coach.
Yes, sir.
Thank you so much for the time.
All right, thank you.
As head coach of UVA, Tony Elliott, I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD on The Fan. Welcome back to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan. Now at 105.1 FM, Richmond's home for the most college football talk in town. You're home for the Hoos, you're home for the Hokies, and joining us right now is the Executive Director of the National Sports Media Association, our buddy Dave Gorin. What's going on, Dave?
What's up, Adam?
Here with Hokie Steve, as well as we are here to talk a little Hokies, a little UVA. I want to start with UVA because I was impressed by Chandler Morris, and I do feel like this is a massive season for head coach Tony Elliott. And it's like, you know, they might not have the future at the quarterback position, but they have this year at the quarterback position lined up.
Yeah, I'm interested to see what the season brings everywhere in college football, because I've had numerous conversations with people, and you just don't know what you're going to get anywhere with the new system that's in place. I mean,
yeah.
It used to be build a program. Now you have to build a one-year program every right. year. And so is it good to have the best players? Yes. Then we have to figure out, and the coaches have to figure out how to make them all work together.
Yeah, I mean, how do you project it? You would have been wrong about Florida State last year if you had done a prediction before the season. It's so difficult with the NIL and the transfer portal. But I do feel like, you know, we mentioned Chandler Morris. The ACC has done a good job with bringing in quarterbacks at the transfer portal. And, you know, Miami, Cam Ward, he's gone. Now in comes Carson Beck. There's a lot of talents at the quarterback position in the ACC.
Yeah, and they've used the transfer portal well. I'm interested to see, as a sideline reporter for Wake Forest, you know, Jake Dickert comes in from Washington State. You have a couple transfer guys in there. The guy that had been the highly recruited prize freshman, redshirt freshman, transfers out. And now, you know, there's a battle between two guys, and we still don't know as of today who will come out of that and start. And will whoever does win that battle be good enough? And then will there be a midseason change?
Joined by Dave Gorin, I'm Adam Epstein, here with Hokie Steve as well.
Yeah, Dave, obviously the Dave Clawson era came to an end, maybe a little bit unexpected, but it did come to an end after 11 years, and certainly he put his footprint on that program, Wake Forest football. Now you have Coach Jake Dickert coming over from Washington State, and talk about just the change that you guys will have this fall.
Yeah, I mean, every guy who comes in has a different personality and a different plan. Especially at Wake Forest, as you guys know, when it's the smallest Power Four school, football playing school in the country, you have to do things differently when you have that kind of academic restrictions, requirements, whatever. And teaching a class there now for the last 8 falls, you know, I see it in practice. That's not in football practice, but how they put it into practice. And so you have to have coaches who can think outside the box, or at least have a plan that's a little bit different. So, you know, Clawson's regime came up with that slow mesh option offense. You know, I think a lot of people thought they used it all the time. They didn't, but they used it to keep defenses off balance.
Right.
And give a different look that you can't practice for every week. And so now Jake Dickert comes in with a different offense, a little more wide open, a little more pass happy. And I'm interested to see it. He's brought in a lot of guys, has brought a lot of guys with him from Washington State and had success there, which is, you know, Pullman, Washington's not an easy place to recruit to as well. So I think John Curry did his homework, the athletic director, in bringing in a guy who knows that you have to be a beat, you have to have a plan, and you have to do things a little differently. And now we'll see.
Yeah, you mentioned, you know, coming from Washington State, his last two quarterbacks, Cam Ward, John Mateer. Two pretty good names, especially, you know, Cam Ward goes number one, John Mateer is now at Oklahoma. Robbie Ashford comes over from South Carolina. Deshaun Purdy comes over from Charlotte. Obviously the quarterback battle right there. You know, Robbie Ashford has been at Auburn, Oregon, South Carolina, and now Wake Forest. That's just the nature of the beast today, right?
Correct. And you wonder, normally it takes a quarterback a little while to get into a system, learn it, and then have it become second nature. Now you're going to have to do it with these guys in 1 or maybe 2 years. It's like, how do you do that? And so you have to have, I mean, somebody there has got to be the quarterback whisperer on the staff,
right?
And yeah, to me, that's the fun of football, is with 100 guys on the roster and, you know, 11 and 11 plus special teams. I love the chess game of football. And, you know, especially now in this NIL portal era, you're going to see it constantly, and I love that.
Dave Gorin with us here, Executive Director of the National Sports Media Association, sidelines for Wake Forest Radio. You know, I want to get your thoughts on the state of the ACC. Last year, it was the talk about the lawsuits. This year, is there maybe a little bit of momentum with no lawsuits and two teams that got into the college football playoffs? And I think there's enough talent here to maybe have a national champion if it works out for Clemson.
Yeah. Again, we don't know sitting here today, right?
Yeah.
and we can pontificate and predict, prognosticate all we want. We won't know till they start playing. I think the ACC gets a little bit of the short stick. Having said that, in the publicity, on the publicity side, having said that, you need to win the early season non-conference big matchups. Right. You just have to, because that becomes who you are for the rest of the season, like it or not. Who you are in November is usually not who you were in September, for the most part. But in the media consciousness and in the fan consciousness, it kind of is.
Yeah.
So you have to play that perception game. That's why the conferences have, you know, media relations staffs. That's what they should do. That should also be the message to each individual school, without BSing people, because people can see through that. But what I've loved about the ACC in years where other people say they're down is the competitiveness of every game. It's like, as a fan, isn't that what you want? Do you want to see 62? You want to see your team win 62-0 every year? Okay, you do. But when you go to a game, you want to see a good game.
Yeah.
You want to see an exciting game, and I think that's what the ACC usually produces, and I think that's maybe what they need to market more.
Hokie, Steve, and I were already going through those week one matchups.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
Just so many massive opportunities for the ACC. What is the one that you would circle?
I would have to look at the schedule. I haven't, honestly, until we get to like the day before, I don't even look at it.
Clemson, LSU is the big one.
Yeah.
Florida State, Alabama. Of course, we talked about Virginia Tech, South Carolina. That's the Beamer Bowl right there.
Oh, yeah. Then there's that one Monday night.
Yeah.
TCU in Chapel Hill against Coach B in the Tar Heels.
Now, every year, so Labor Day night is what's my second week of class, I think. Third week.
Correct, yeah.
And we watch the game. And my class is Monday nights. So we will watch the first quarter of that game, not for the game, but for the announcers and how they, you know, it's almost like early. This is how they do production of a game. And I'm commentating while the game's going on. So now there are 7,000 voices, and all the football players in my class are like, those are all great games. I mean,
Notre Dame, Miami also.
Yeah.
That's on the schedule. So
the pseudo ACC team.
That's
but
correct.
Like, how that's crucial is it for the ACC to get one of those big wins?
Very crucial.
Yeah.
I mean, it's what I just said. Absolutely. You need to win a couple of those,
yeah.
A few of those. And even, you know, my alma mater, Syracuse, playing at Tennessee. No, where is that?
That's
in Atlanta.
That's a Mercedes-Benz,
that's
too.
That's in Atlanta.
Yeah.
That would be a nice one for Fran
the
Brown.
The ACC can't go like 1-5 in this group.
I mean,
we got six games, seven games. They've got to go at, you know, 3-3. We take it, right? 2-4, but you can't go like 1-5.
I
just
agree.
You can't do it.
Best case scenario is you go over 500, maybe.
That would be great. We take that,
two.
Too. We take that, too, especially the second game down in Atlanta that weekend.
And that Monday night game. I am so looking forward to seeing how the Bill Belichick experiment works in Chapel Hill. I think that was a great risk for them to take. And we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see how that works.
And, I mean, I think it's going to work defensively,
uh-huh.
But is Gio Lopez the right quarterback?
Yeah.
We're all wondering, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
A little bit different in South Alabama than Chapel Hill. So.
Yeah, absolutely.
And different in Chapel Hill than in Foxborough.
Very true.
But speaking of Bill, what do you think of the influx of NFL coaches to the ACC? Frank Reich's here. Bill O'Brien was here. Last year we spoke with him, and now Bill Belichick.
It's very interesting. It's fun to see how – now, most of them coached in college before, and all three of those guys have. So it's interesting to see – they got or played or coached in the NFL and got a different perspective, and then coming back to the college game, you know, what do they introduce back into it that they learned in the pros?
Would you say that now college football is closer than it's ever been to the NFL?
No question.
Yeah.
I think all of college sports now is closer to professional. It is professional sports. You know, I've bemoaned the state of even college basketball the last 5 years is becoming so much more like the NBA. You know, I grew up on, I'm going to sound like the old guy here, they always ran. I mean, I grew up a Celtics fan in Massachusetts. I love the way they got the ball up court. Off the glass, outlet, get up the court. I like motion. My favorite sport is hockey, and I like up and down the ice. I don't care if you score a goal or not. I just want to see, you know, moving up and down.
Mm-hmm.
Go. And that's the kind of game I like. You know, that kind of, you know, run and shoot football is fun to watch, right? But you're going to kill your defense, and you're going to kill your off. You're going to, by doing that and scoring a lot of points, your defense is on the field a lot. right, if you score a lot of touchdowns. People don't think about that. You look at stats and say, well, this defense is giving up so many yards. Well, that's because your offense is scoring so many points around the field all the time.
Yeah. Steve, I'm interested. Would you be able to give us insight on how NIL has changed the student-athlete that you deal with as a professor?
I didn't notice. I haven't noticed it a whole lot yet.
So it's not like they're walking in with chains now.
Well,
yo, what up, Dave?
I had Damon Claiborne in my class last year. I just saw his watch. Did you notice that?
Yeah,
pretty good.
I had to put my sunglasses on.
He had 1,000 yards last year. He's worth it.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think there's anyone among us who argues that they should not be paid for their name, image, and likeness. True NIL. The pendulum has swung way past that,
right?
And it, as hard to govern as we've seen that it is, I don't know how long it's going to take, but
the NCAA, just my opinion here, but they just kicked the can down the road for so long, and they didn't address it when they needed to address it, and it finally just completely, instead of a gradual shift to where we're going, it almost flipped on a switch on a dime like that.
Yeah, and there, there's no saying whether, had they addressed it earlier, whether it still would have passed legal muster.
Right.
And they wouldn't still be fighting about it. And, I mean, you could argue we'd be further down the road with a solution, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's way beyond my scope of legal understanding.
The genie's out of the bottle. It's not going back.
That's correct.
Yeah, the toothpaste is out.
No doubt.
It's out of the tube.
And the horse, isn't going back in the barn either. All the cliches
all of those
are
things.
True.
All of those things.
Dave, really appreciate you taking the time to join us.
Happy to do it. Good to see you guys.
Thanks, Dave.
You're listening to AWOD Radio on the Fan. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life, all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio. Here on the new Sports Radio 910, The Fan, now at 105.1 FM, as we continue our coverage live from Charlotte, North Carolina, Radio Row, the 2025 ACC kickoff, AWOD on the road, presented by Cowan Gates. Hokie Steve with us here to tackle the Hokies. And joining us right now from the Hadid Mercer rug cleaning hot seat, David Glenn from North Carolina Sports Network. What's going on, man?
I am doing great, Adam and Steve. It's great to see you guys.
Absolutely. So I want to jump right in with the Tar Heels and the new head coach, Bill Belichick. I mean, what was your spit take reaction to that signing?
Hey, I've been covering the Tar Heels since 1987, and I probably know that culture about as well as I know any school. And I was not surprised because I knew a couple of very powerful people were going after Bill Belichick, almost as like shadow athletic directors, as Bubba Cunningham, the actual athletic director, was pursuing other candidates. So I knew it was a possibility. But I was still surprised in the sense that Carolina's been playing football for over 100 years, and they have never, not an exaggeration, truly never had one of the highest paid coaches in college football. They care about football, but obviously they're way more famous for men's basketball and even some other sports. When they hired Butch Davis from, you know, former NFL coach, when they hired Mack Brown the first time or the second time,
yeah,
they put out some money, but they didn't put out $10 million a year the way Bill Belichick is going to be making almost as much as Kirby Smart at Georgia, Dabo Sweeney at Clemson, and guys who have actually won national titles at the college level.
Yeah, but to make that move is a massive statement, but also – now might be the time to go for it when you think about how close college football is to the NFL. It is semi-pro every year. It's a brand-new roster, basically.
And I believe the logic that you just threw out there was the logic that won the day in the debate about whether you go after a coach who's in his 70s, right, and has no background, really, in college football. And it's not only, you know, now is the time for those reasons. There's a lot of people who believe that come the 2030s, there is going to be a Super League of college football. And in fact, the ACC's recent legal settlement even includes details about what it costs to leave the league if you only want to leave in football, leaving all your other sports behind to play in the ACC. I mean, you don't think that's just a hypothetical if you write it into your lawsuit settlement. And Carolina, of course, wants to position itself that if that Super League does happen, we know Clemson and Florida State would get invitations because of their football brands and their football followings and their national championships. Carolina doesn't quite have that football brand, but they want to position themselves such that they would be one of those invited to that Super League.
DJ, first of all, it's great to have you on Sports Radio, and as I told Adam, we go way back.
We
right?
do, decades.
We go way back, but exactly, that's I wanted to hit on what you just talked about, the short-term stability of the ACC. You wrote about it in Holding Court with David Glenn. FSU and Clemson overwhelmingly got the benefit of that settlement.
There's absolutely no doubt about it. This was a game of chicken.
Yeah.
And Florida State and Clemson were running down the railroad tracks in one direction. The Atlantic Coast Conference was running down those same tracks in the opposite direction. And obviously in chicken, there's going to be a collision unless somebody jumps off the tracks.
Right.
I practiced law for a long time. I know what the legal arguments were in that case. I personally believe that the ACC had a good legal argument to defend the grant of rights and the exit fee and all that stuff. Why the ACC was the one to jump off the train tracks. The ACC caved. Clemson and Florida State had been asking for a TV eyeballs metric that allows them to make more money. They got it in
they
the lawsuit
it, yep.
settlement after they had been told no for a decade. They also have the new success initiative. You win more on the field, make the college football playoff, make the NCAA tournament, win there. For 70 years, the ACC did not differentiate that when it came time to share revenue. Now they do. So that's two things Clemson and Florida State wanted that they now have. It's a whole new world. The ACC did things a certain way for 70 years, and now because they were afraid of the potential loss of that lawsuit, they caved and gave the Seminoles and the Tigers basically everything that they wanted. And I said short-term stability because, yeah, I think everybody's going to wait and see how this new approach goes for the next handful of years. But come 2030 or after that,
right?
You know, it's instead of it costing $500 million-plus to leave, which is the number FSU quoted in his lawsuit, by 2030 it will cost $75 million to leave.
Right.
That's still a lot of money, but if you're jumping to the SEC or the Big Ten, you're going to make that money back very quickly.
Greg Sankey is not going to shy away from $75 million.
Not at all. Not at all. And, you know, for much of our time knowing each other, the ACC was the wealthiest conference in America.
Right.
In the obviously, that has not been the case for a long time, and the gap has been growing. The ACC is a solid number three behind the Big Ten and the SEC financially, but there's no way to close that gap until you get to your next TV deal, and in the ACC's case, that TV deal does not expire until 2036,
right.
Whereas the SEC and the Big Ten have renegotiated their deals more recently and gotten the much, much bigger bucks.
David, do you think the ACC is better set up for success in football or basketball moving forward?
I'd say basketball. I mean, they're trying hard in football. They're going after prominent coaches. Some of the new ones are doing well. Fran Brown at Syracuse had a great first year last year. Manny Diaz at Duke had a great first year last year. Obviously, high expectations for Bill Belichick and others. Florida State hopes to bounce back. You know, Clemson is, to me, the trendsetter and the trailblazer in this league. But the ACC's tradition is greater in men's basketball. It's history. It's, I think, the talent pipeline other than Clemson football is much stronger in the ACC overall, where Duke has been the trendsetter, but there's a lot of depth behind the Blue Devils in that regard. So who knows? Everything is new now, guys. Literally July of 2025 is the first time that we have $20.5 million of internal revenue sharing money.
Yeah.
The NCAA is more than 100 years old. This month is the first time a school is allowed to sprinkle $20-plus million among as many athletes as they want in whatever sports they want. That's new. Name, image, likeness continues. That's only 4-plus years old now. We're living in a brand-new world, and that makes it harder to predict. You know, the ACC needs to get better in football because there's a more direct road to bigger money in football. A lot of fans don't understand that we've gone from a world, when I was a young journalist, it was 50% men's basketball money, 50% football money. That's how you paid your bills, so to speak, in major college athletics. We are now living in a world where when you read so-and-so conference signed a mega gazillion-dollar deal, that is roughly 80% football money, 19% men's basketball, and 1% all other sports combined.
Yeah.
So we are living in a football-is-the-tail-that-wags-the-dog world. And unfortunately for the ACC, it's had great years in football, but it's not known as a football juggernaut the way the SEC definitely is. And even though the Big Ten is not quite as dominant on the field in football, man, those are old public universities with massive fan bases, and they get so many TV eyeballs that even if Big Ten football is, like, good, but you kind of expect them to lose their bowl game most of the time, they're still drawing TV eyeballs because they're old, large public universities with massive alumni bases. And then whether it's Ohio State, Michigan, others that have quality football, it is just a financial model that is not as big as the ACC's, not only because of lesser football on the field, but the ACC has more smaller or private schools like a Wake Forest or a Boston College, or, you know, even a Georgia Tech is not an enormous university. Miami's a private university, et cetera. It's just a different model, and it doesn't work quite as well in football.
David, really appreciate you joining us.
Great to be with you guys.
Thanks, Dave.
David Glenn, North Carolina Sports Network here on The Fan. I'm Adam Epstein. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM, Richmond's home for the Hokies. And we got a Hokie with us right now in the Hadid Mercer Rug Cleaning Hot Seat, live from Charlotte, North Carolina. AWOD on the Road, presented by Cowan Gates, joined by David Cunningham from Tech Sideline. What's up, David?
How's it going, man? Great to be with you.
Yeah, great to be here, and I love this event. I mean, we've sat down with some awesome head coaches already. I was super impressed by Rhett Lashley. Pat Narduzzi had some swag from Pitt. And tomorrow, we'll grab Brett Pry for your Hokies here. How do you feel the importance level of this season for Coach Pry and his job security in Blacksburg?
Through the roof.
Yeah.
I mean, this is XXL, as big as it gets this year. And it starts week one in Atlanta against South Carolina and Shane Beamer, of course. And then Vanderbilt. I think maybe the most important game of the season is Vanderbilt week two at home. The team that ruined your season last year in Nashville week one. You get them at your place under the lights, Lane Stadium, Enter Sandman. This is an imperative season for Brent Pry. And there's a lot of new stuff. You've got players, but also two new coordinators. Strength and conditioning is new. And you have to win now. The pressure is on. It's of the utmost importance.
Could you envision a scenario in which the week one opponent becomes your future head coach in Shane Beamer, or has that already passed by with the money at South Carolina?
I think that's already passed by. And honestly, I don't know that he would want that job now, especially with the reputation he's built at South Carolina. I mean,
it'd be a step back.
Yeah, I think so, especially considering South Carolina's in the SEC. I think, obviously, he has great ties to Virginia Tech, played at Virginia Tech, his dad, his family. But I think South Carolina is the right place for Shane and his family. I say that not having spoken with Shane at all, but I think that that boat has sailed a little bit just in terms of South Carolina is in a fantastic spot financially, being in the SEC. He's got great support, and he's built a heck of a program there. I mean, this is a team that was just outside the college football playoff picture last year.
Yeah, I just feel like when that game's being played,
yeah,
whether or not the Hokies are up by 30 or down by 30, it's going to be on the fan base's mind.
Absolutely. People are going to be sitting there going, man, this could have been our head coach.
Right.
There's always going to be the what if, the what if.
Because Frank's going to be in the building, right?
I Frank will be reported. In the building. We had on our Tech Sideline podcast yesterday, we had the CEO and president of the Peach Bowl, and he was telling us that Frank and Cheryl Beamer will be honored before the game, Frank is going to do the invocation. So they are going all out with the Beamers. Of course, you got one-on-one sideline, and Frank's former school, Shane's former school. I think if you're a Virginia Tech fan sitting in that building, you scratch your head going, man, I mean, this was our guy, Shane, for so long. And there were a couple times where, one or two games where he was the head coach acting where his dad wasn't the coach. So this is a guy who all of his life bled Virginia Tech, maroon and orange, and now you're seeing him on the other sideline going up against him, and this is a important year for your program, and you have to think of the what if.
Yeah, and you mentioned it with Coach Pry, XXL, right? I mean, it's the largest, most important season of his career in Blacksburg, and it's highlighted by the moves from the offseason. When you get rid of your coordinators, you know your ass is on the line.
Absolutely. I think they got two good ones in Philip Montgomery and Sam Siefkas. Both are very knowledgeable. Montgomery, he was part of those fantastic RG3 Baylor offenses. Siefkas seems like this huge up-and-comer, on-the-rise young star in the NFL, been around the Vikings and the Cardinals. How does it mesh? And do they have the personnel to do what they want to do? That's what I'm most interested in. It seems like talking with players that also with strength conditioning, because they turned that over too, that the Hokies are in a better place, but I'm not sure they're going to be more talented this year. I mean, they had a handful of guys get drafted. I think combined with undrafted free agent contracts, they had about 14 or 15 guys go to the NFL. That's hard production to replace, and you're saying they only won six games last year.
Yeah.
So I think the Hokies are in a better spot as far as their staff goes, but I'm not sure that necessarily translates to wins unless you can excel in close games, which the Hokies haven't done so far in Brent Pry's tenure.
Yeah, all the insiders we've spoken to this week at ACC kickoff have said a similar thing, though, that if you have a quarterback, you have a chance.
Absolutely.
And the Hokies have brought back their quarterback in Drones, but how do you replace the production of Tootin and the rest of the guys that are now in the NFL?
The running back room is going to be very, very interesting. They've got Tarion Stewart, who's a bowling ball from Bowling Green.
Yeah.
They've got a couple other guys, Braden Bennett from Coastal Carolina in that running back room. Wide receiver, I think, is the one position I'm looking at where it's you need guys to produce. They got Donovan Green from Wake Forest. He's been great when he's healthy, but he hasn't always been healthy. Aiden Green's going to have to step up. There's a lot of production they're going to have to replace. I'm not as worried about the defensive side of the ball because I think they have recruited very, very well. You lose Antoine Powell-Ryland and Aeneas Peebles, but you bring in a guy in Ben Bell, James Joncom. Those guys, I think, are going to produce immediately. But I wonder about Kyren Drones. He missed a good chunk of the spring, the end of the season. How does he come back? What is his form when he gets back on the field? And how does he pick up this offense? This is a new scheme he has to learn. How do the Hokies get the most out of the weapons they do have? Tight end, Benji Gosnell. That's a guy nobody's probably going to really be talking about, but he's one of the most experienced returners on this offense.
Yeah.
That doesn't have many. They're going to have to get the most out of their talented athletes, and I think they've done a good job, but it's a lot of young players. I look at guys from the Richmond area, guys from the 757, high school recruits, guys like Keelan Adams, knocking on the door. He's a rising redshirt freshman this year. It's his time maybe to break out. And if you can get some production from some of those young guys stepping up into new roles, maybe your season goes much, much better than you thought. But there are a lot of questions there because you lost so many productive receivers.
Yeah, and the question with drones is, like, you look at last season, even the highs, I don't think, get people excited for this year. But you look at the previous year, and the highs are like, oh, yeah, let's get drones back. Let's do this thing. Team him up with his old offense coordinator. Could actually work. But it's hard to get excited based off of what happened last year. David Cunningham with us from Tech Sidelines. So we're live here from Charlotte, North Carolina for ACC kickoff. But, David, you know what my audience wants to hear you talk about?
Oh, gosh.
The Commanders' newest wide receiver, Jalen Lane.
Wow.
I think he's going to be punt returner number one by day one. And I've been arguing, man, last year they had to manufacture ways to get him the ball. Well, now you got Jaden Daniels accurately throw it to him. What do you expect for Jalen Lane rookie season in the NFL?
That's a great question, and I love to talk about Jalen Lane. He is, first and foremost, he is as humble as they come. He's a very down-to-earth guy. One of my favorite interviews I've done in the last handful of years. Comes from a great family. He's a very, very hard worker, and he's the type of guy who you can get him the ball any way, and he can excel. Jet sweeps. They ran a couple of reverses, obviously, for him last year. He's a phenomenal punt returner. He had that touchdown he housed against Marshall where it seemed like everybody was closing in on him, and he somehow squirted free and burst up the middle, and it's like, how in the world did this guy find a hole? We saw him, I believe, 2 years ago. He caught a slant route and took it like 70 yards to the house against Wake Forest. He's a guy you can line up anywhere on the field, and he will thrive. And like you said, you got a really good quarterback getting him the ball now in Jaden Daniels. I think Virginia Tech fans will look back and go, man, I can't believe we did not get him the ball more when he was in Blacksburg. I saw him go to the Commanders, and I was like, man, they got a good one.
David, thanks so much for the time, man.
This has been awesome. Thanks for having me.
David Cunningham from Tech Sidelines. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD on the Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back, and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.